Up next, we have our Holistic Strategic Plan Initiative. Brett Weedoff will be leading us through the presentation. I just want to remind everyone, this is a council-driven process. This is not falling to staff. This is not falling to the Parnum Group and his subsidiaries. You know, this is us around the table making sure the plan that we're working on and the strategies that we came up with and all the discussions that we had back in, I believe, January, this is going to be us moving this forward. So I'll now kick it over to Brett and have at it.
Thank you, council members. Thank you, Dr. O'Keefe and Chair Salerno. I really appreciate the time to be here. It's wonderful to see you all again. It was great to meet you in January. And again, yeah, I'm glad we could make this happen. Really excited about this project and where you're headed. So a little about the agenda today, just a quick project overview. Touch a little bit about the mission and vision on the goals and objectives, some of those things you heard back in my January report, a little bit about the approach to implementation of the plan, and then just some questions and discussion. So as Chair Salerno said, it's mostly about you talking about the HSP and what's within inside those pages and deciding, do you like what you see? Do you want to move forward with those things? Are there things that you want to change? So it is a living document, right? So it's subject to change. A little bit about our project team. We talked about this before, too. The Parnum Group is a small business nonprofit. It's a small business group out of Arlington, Virginia, and operates in D.C. We partnered with Linker Corporation, a very large group that has a lot of fingers in the pies of science, and we really had a great team to pull together this information, a lot of subject matter experts that were in this group. A little bit of timeline on the development of the plan. As you know, we started this back in May. There's the discovery phase, which you all took a look at back in December. It includes some analysis and some gap analyses. Those things are in the appendix of the final report. And within that final report is also the strategic plan that you developed. It's also a separate document, of course, in the briefing book. But I wanted to codify everything that we've done, the history, into that final report. So you have a static document that you can refer to. So if you do change the HSP, you could see where it has changed over time. So I wanted to create something that is just a one-stop shop that has all the information in the background in developing that plan. And then we, of course, have we're here now at finalizing that, what we call working draft for you. At this stage, Mr. Salerno, yes, it's correct. We're handing that plan over to you to massage and make those changes. We are, the project is closing out as of today, so in my final report. The mission statement that you revised a little bit, I think, is a great one and will lead the charge and keep you centered on all things that Congress has set you out to do. Right after the word Connecticut, you added in that last part of the sentence. That information is verbatim from the Magnuson Act. And that information that we discussed at the workshop is in the different sections of the MSA are codified in that final report as well. So we want to make sure there was reference to the text that really you all were discussing and trying to decide if you wanted to enhance this mission statement. You developed two vision statements, which I thought was actually really pointed. There was a great session that we all did. You all did sticky notes, and you're trying to cross-reference and develop these statements. And it was decided that it'd be two topics. One, council vision statement, which is basically your charge as leaders in the fisheries management space. And then a vision statement just for fisheries themselves. So it's nice to say, here's what we are charged to do and what we see in the future. And here's the people we're serving and what we see as a future state. I think both of those could remain separate rather than blending the two. I think they're very pointed. We focused, of course, on goals, and within that document as well, your HSP, you have supporting statements under the goal to really kind of highlight what does that goal mean. And the four main, although we came up with about, you came up with about seven, these were the top four that really kind of resonated with everyone around the room. And I think they're very strong goals and very, very pointed as well. So at this point, then I wanted to kind of discuss the what's underneath each of those goals. Goal one is to build flexibility and adaptability. So you've got several objectives there that are supporting that. Those are the things you're shooting for to meet that goal. As you outline, there's different things here, that is different strategies across the top and the top right. There's different ways to go about getting at those goals. And then underneath them, there's some draft action items. And I don't want to say the devil's in the details because I never like that. I think there's a lot of opportunities here and ideas that are could be massaged or built out or even added to that really can support that strategy. So these are really draft ideas that you want to settle down and say, are these going to meet our, is this a good strategy? Will this help meet our objectives and meet our goals all the way through and through? So I'm not going to read them through. I hope that you have. I hope that you've dived into them a little bit and had some discussions of maybe even off the side and talked about what is it that you want out of this goal. But I think one of the bigger things here was to optimize the council member staff and partner time for development of the action. So carving out space for you to think rather than react and continuously having to fight fires. Trying to figure out a way to use this plan to optimize your time and space to be able to think strategically and also innovatively. And so that seemed to be one of the bigger topics for everyone to be like, we need time to think about how we want to manage things. How do we want to implement some of these things? Of course, all these goals are wonderful, and you don't have to do them all at the same time. These are just guideposts, ways and means to get to where you want to be. So you're going to pick and choose some of these things. We're not trying to overburden the council or the staff, but try to make ourselves work harder, work smarter, not harder. So where can we find opportunities that would really get where we want to go with some of these things, some of those things that we're challenged with? Your partnerships are wide-reaching. There's a lot of people that are involved in the council process. And you want to strengthen those and capitalize on partnerships and want to create new partnerships. So trying to create an opportunity there too to strengthen your partnerships and work with others, find ways and means to enhance your communication, your back and forth, whether it's formal or informal, create maybe new opportunities to improve science and management decisions. Just ensuring representation is there too. I know that a lot of councils are challenged with continued representation or a wide range of representation or new voices coming to the table. So there's some opportunities here to think about how to do that, how to bring new voices to the table, how to connect with people in their area, in their region. I recently just was out in Saipan and Guam, and that community was, again, crying out for, please come to our village and talk with us. Could you not do it in the city? Could you come to us and have conversations and stay for a week and hit each village? We did have village meetings with mayors, and it was very productive. But it was a strong desire. I'll probably hear this in American Samoa too when we go down there, is please come to us if you could. It's hard for me to get to where you are in a city. And it's just more opportune for me to meet with you, sit down and have food together and talk in where I'm at. It creates, for them at least, a more comfortable and what I heard was a safe space. Not in that it's threatening, it's just it's talking about regulations can be a little bit scary or uncertain, or at least in that area. So I encourage you to go elsewhere if you can. Improving accessibility, quality, and use of data. I think there's just there's just a wealth of information that we gather, that NOAA gathers, that uses for science and management. And then it's just about, okay, do we have what we need actually to make a decision? Do we have the quality of data that we need? What is the shortcomings? What do we really need to make our decisions and make them really robust? And are we missing pieces of the puzzle? Are we missing the socioeconomic information? Are we missing things that we think are just have been a challenge throughout the years to help us make a decision? And so I think these are really critical pieces to really tear apart what you've already gathered. Where can we find opportunities to partner with others, to gather information from and collaborate from with the fishermen, whether it's independent data or dependent data? Examine the streams of data and whether it's really being utilized at its best. And you always have the best available science, but is it the right science? Is it what you needed to make your decisions? If you're having challenges you need to fill a gap, then by all means, please work on trying to make that happen. And I think there's a lot of actions there that can be worked through immediately to start tearing things apart and looking at things that you need. Optimizing the capacity. This goal was a pretty major discussion, and trying to nail this one down of what optimize meant, trying to understand the resources and improve fishing efficiency and safety. This is a really, to me, connected to the IRA project and the portfolio management one. There's a lot of information that can be gathered and pulled from that to kind of build off and start working through this goal. So that one, I think, that one we heavily left for you all to decide on how you want to move through that space. We did our best as a team to pull together some objectives and some strategies, but it was really the staff and you all that are pulling this one together. I really hope that you could take a good hard look and a realistic look at your fisheries and how you want to see the future and what would need, you know, rejiggering to make them more profitable mixing and matching, however you might want to work through your FMPs. There was a couple things that I put in as far as separate recommendations in our final report, speaking to a little bit about this, about examining the goals and objectives of your FMPs and turning them upside down if you need to on their head and see, like, is this still a goal and objective for this fishery? Is this where we want to, you know, do we want to continue working through these challenges, or do we see some other avenue that might build this capacity or create a system that gives better access for these fish? A little bit about implementation. Once you finalize this plan, you're going to need to really sit down and think about how you want to execute and prioritize your actions. So there are some things in there about talking about rejiggering or maybe reworking, maybe clarifying your priority, your prioritization exercise. But you want to step through these processes, and we provide some information and background in the final report about how to do that. But it's a draft set of information for the staff and you all to use of how you want to measure yourself and monitor your performance. We have a lot of information in there about key performance indicators, but those are draft pieces of information to sort of understand, okay, if we were to move forward with these goals, strategies, objectives, actions, how do we measure ourselves and how do we show we're being successful? Or when is it time to just say, this isn't successful and we need to just change course and be realistic that it's not working, and that's okay. This is a draft strategy, and it's a draft plan, and it can be modified. So we suggest that there's some annual priority setting and talk about mid-cycle discussions and creating some static reports that you can, you know, and periodic reviews. So it's something that you continuously turn to and look at and make sure that you are headed in the right direction. Are you meeting your goals? Are you meeting the objectives? Just keep checking yourselves and being realistic about whether something's not working or hey, this is a might want to tweak it this way so it's going to get a better system, a better product. So just a few takeaways. I think you are right now moving from reactive to proactive. And I thought there was a lot of excitement around the table at the workshop. And I think there is within the staff as well about something new and some direction and hopefully making things better. In the long run, there's definitely a huge capacity for this group to continue to partner together. There is some institutional knowledge to capitalize, but the risk here, there's a little bit of risk as far as too much and to do and too few staff. So we're trying to be cognizant about that and try to optimize your time and not overwork and over-prescribe things and ask for things that, do you really need to know that information? Does the staff really need to change course and go get that information? Is it a nice to have or is it a must have? That kind of discussions have to be real because staff burnout, and I've been there as a staff for the Pacific Council, it's real. It's tough. We want to deliver. They want to deliver. They want to give you everything in the kitchen sink and to make a decision, but sometimes it's just not realistic. So the trust through transparency, and this is came up quite a bit, but stakeholders really want to trust the system and it's working for them. And you're here for the fishermen, and so they want to be part of that process. I know it's challenging sometimes to get engaged, so thinking about other ways and means with this plan about how to engage stakeholders and a more wide range of stakeholders and get their voice heard and make sure that they're informed. And by means of either certain changes in how you deliver that information or provide information that is just in short bites and where they can join in the process earlier and often. And then finally, like I said, the plan is a living tool. It's not just to be put on the shelf. It's just to be worked from and with. And you can modify it as you see fit. You could take out two goals if you wanted to and say, that's just too much right now. Let's put that off to the side and just focus on these two goals. There's enough here right now to work on that for the next 10 years. And once you meet a goal, then you can remove it and add in something else. But you're always building and creating and being a better council, I think, in the long run, if you continuously work towards that as a living tool. So this is my end of my presentation, so we're going to leave you some key questions. And I want you to think about these as you start this discussion. I'm really interested about what you think about the plan, what you want to do with it. My understanding is you're going to try to finalize this by the September meeting and then put it into place and figure out which pieces you want to tackle first. So do those draft strategy adequately support the council's identified goals? Anything significantly missing or unclear? What about in the elements of the draft plan are particularly strong? What areas need additional attention for consideration for approval? So this is the first cut, the first chance to look at it. Maybe the next to go around, you'll have more time to have thought about it and ask questions about it and get it final by September. That's my presentation, Chair.
Thank you, Brett. Very useful, and I think you've captured, what we took in January. I think you ran with it. You provided some actually really good options for us to think about. I look at some of those bullet points that you had under the four different goals, and I look around. Some of these things are working on right now. Some of the things actually kind of came up in yesterday's discussion about how we engage, do we find efficiencies? How do we incorporate, a larger group in a meeting? We're just talking about the status of the ecosystems report. Is it more useful to have one larger day-long meeting to have council, scientists, SSC, fishermen in the room to actually get pour into the status of the ecosystem report? So I'm happy where we're going. I'm only one voice in the room, so I will turn to the rest of the council members here around the table. I have Ms. Griffin, and I will go to Terry Alexander.
And Mr. Thanks. Salerno, may I say something real quick? The strategies and a lot of the actions were really, we provided some rough ideas based on the workshop outcomes, but Kate and her staff really did sit down, pen to paper, and think hard about what would really be realistic pieces of information. So I can't take the credit for what's in those action items as today, and the strategies that the ideas that they had kind of massaged and came up with, I think was really great that they took ownership of that and took it to heart and just sat down and did that work, because it lays the foundation for all of you, really. So
thanks. In terms of the format, I think one thing I'd like to see, you know, the objectives clearly relay back to a single goal, and the actions clearly relay to a strategy. I'm just missing the strategy relaying to an objective, so I'd love to see that. I have a question that may actually, given that statement from Brett, may be more for Jonathan and Kate. So I don't know if, is that okay?
Sure.
So if we could go to goal three on the slides. And I say more for Jonathan and Kate, given that they are in the weeds knowing where we are. So this, the first two words, improve accessibility. Do you think that the identified strategies and actions actually improve accessibility? I recognize we don't really have control over that, but maybe we could support improvements or changes we think are needed. I'm just not really seeing it in there. A lot of these speak to more understanding in the end use, but it starts with accessibility, and we know we have a problem with that for some.
Dr. O'Keefe?
Thank you. I think that's a fair point, and maybe we need to be a little bit more thoughtful about word choice. I think we were considering the term accessibility in a more overarching, like, you know, being accessible would require it being understandable, and not just in the kind of physical sense of you can like put your hands on it and access it. So certainly we can, you know, take all the feedback around word choice and ensuring that the words that we use are conveying the meaning that we intended.
Yeah, and I certainly picked up on, you know, that was more overarching, but I think we recognize that that is an issue, and anything we can do, I think it would behoove us to at least recognize it and say something about it. And then goal four, if we could put that up. So obviously, strategy one, one of the actions is the risk value matrix. Obviously, what we heard yesterday with the status, the questionable status of that, maybe we want to word this a little bit more generically about some kind of risk value evaluation, whether it's the matrix or not. And that's it for now.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Terry Alexander?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the presentation. I'm curious, you know, when you're talking about goals and objectives, you know, just pivoting and changing the goals and objectives. I know during, like, the Omnibus Habitat Amendment that we did and Amendment 23, Amendment 18, you know, we were always kind of stuck on those goals and objectives. Would this give us more flexibility in order to be able to change that or ignore a couple of goals, like you said, put that on the shelf somewhere. I mean, we were always under the impression that if we didn't meet each one of those goals and every management decision that we made, they wouldn't be approvable by NOAA. Did I read that wrong? Or I that was my read on it back in the day anyway.
I might get this wrong, Terry, because I maybe didn't understand your question entirely. This is really to provide us internally, the council, the staff, the whole council community, some pathways to try to do these things differently. But we're not beholden under, you know, Magnuson or NEPA to make sure that every action we take is completely in line with all of these goals and objectives. In fact, I would kind of say that they're somewhat different. And maybe the one that relates the most is that we want to try to find efficiencies in how we prepare management actions. There's some requirements around that with NEPA and page limits, but there's also some efficiencies, as the chair had mentioned, joint meetings and you know, less duplication of paperwork and documentation. But none of what's in this would need to be approved by NOAA for a management action or the development of management measures.
Sure, go ahead, Terry.
Okay, so that makes sense, because in actuality, this won't be used in developing a management plan. We'll still do it the same way we did it before, where we had to meet each goal or objective for a management plan. This just gives us some flexibility as a council to be able to work on what we need to do. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just guiding how we're going to move forward, our guidance. Obviously, we have set in the specifications or framework or whatever. We still have those hoops to jump through. It's just how these will guide us, how we interact with other groups and how we get everything done for us. But yeah, those other things are still on the table for us, for sure. Up next, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. And Brett, thanks for the presentation and the work of your team. I think you guys did a really good job of capturing what we all as council members laid out at the meeting in January. So thanks to the work you did, and also Kate for the work your staff here at the council did. I think it does a very good job of laying out to me what's like a vision of what we all said in January we aspire to be as a council and how we'd like this council process to work. So I think we're in good shape there. One of the things towards the end of the report says the plan's only as effective as its execution, and we're going to be developing an implementation plan to try to actually act on this vision that we've sent out for ourselves. So I'm just curious, what's the plan for the implementation plan? Is Brett's team going to be involved in that? Is that going to be a council exercise? And when do we get started on an implementation plan so we can try to achieve the lofty goals we laid out in January?
Dr. O'Keefe?
Thank you. So I'll start answering that question, Jeff, and then I might pass it to Brett. So we're looking at the draft of the strategic plan today, hearing any feedback you guys have, but also Brett and his team provided a much longer report that really was encompassing of that full timeline that Brett had laid out. There's quite a number of sections in that report, and this is where I'm going to kick it over to Brett, that have proposals for next steps. So coming out of this meeting, staff will take any feedback that we hear today and start working towards how we're going to develop that implementation plan. We are planning to have an update for the June council meeting where we'll have some steps put together. We'll look for some feedback, and our goal is to get council full approval of the strategic plan itself with the implementation plan. But I am going to kick it to Brett for some of the things we've talked about around performance metrics and tracking and ensuring that we're making progress.
Thank you, Dr. O'Keefe. Right. In that implementation section is an idea of how to go forward now. Once you settle on the plan and the actions you want to take, we've provided some examples of how to measure your success, as I said, in the key performance indicators. But we've also provided to Kate, and we have one more tool for you, Kate, is a matrix of spreadsheets that will help populate these spreadsheets. And we give an example in the report about how you would track these things and measure them. So we didn't want it to be some tedious exercise where you have to check every box. But it's whatever comes out of the prioritization exercise and deciding these are the five things we're going to work on in the next year. Then we put them in the matrix and we track them and we measure them and see how we're doing. That was the idea, is to sort of just give a general sense of here's a way forward to make sure that you're keeping accountable to yourselves, and then do some, like we said, periodic reviews, either annual or I suggest just a check-in every meeting, just a quick check-in on how we're doing is important, to just keep this in the forefront of your mind, that it drives your discussion sometimes. Is that really part of our goals and objectives? Do we really want to go down that road? So it sounds like you're already starting to think that in that way, implementing things that are, hey, I think this is an opportunity that we should have the full SSC here at the meeting 2 days beforehand. We should have the certain plan team and AP together. It's something I suggested to in the one final recommendation section is thinking that through like the Pacific Council does. I'm not suggesting that you have to have a 7-day meeting like the council does over there, but sometimes there's great opportunities when you're rubbing shoulders after the meeting and talking with people, and a lot of work actually gets done and worked out in the hallways or at a restaurant and before you get to the council floor. So trying to find new opportunities, new ways of doing business. It might cost a little more to have an extra night, but spending more time together, in my mind, is better than trying to sit on a virtual meeting and, you know, understand each other. I think you get a lot more understanding when you're in a room together. So there's different ways to slice and dice that implementation plan, but we'll certainly be available for Kate and her staff to, hey, I've got questions about how I might want to go forward. What do you think? You know, we're completely open to guiding that.
Thank you for that. Thank you for helping get us to the point we are today. And I think the plan looks great as a draft, and we're ready to move to an implementation plan. So thank you for your work on it.
Great. Thank you.
Up next, Mr. Ehrstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Brett, for the presentation. So I guess I read through the goals today with a fresh eye, and they all are clear to me, and I understand them, with the one exception being the goal 4, which is currently on the board, and I know Melanie, you know, also had comments on the verbiage. Part I struggle with, and I guess I challenge folks to maybe think about if there's another way to say this, it's like, optimize capacity to reflect fisheries resources. It's reflect, I think, is the word I'm having trouble with. It doesn't, it's just sort of, I don't know, it's not action oriented. I think it could mean a whole bunch of stuff. I'm not, maybe not sure what it means. I know this is sort of going backwards, but again, I just happened to see this and I'm like scratching my head going, what does this really say? So I'll just leave it at that. You all can decide if you want to tweak it or not. If you don't, that's cool. I'm good with it. And I concur with Mr. Smith. It's a good plan. And I know there's a lot more work to do on it. And hearing the chair say it's up to the council to do this, it's not really handing it off to somebody else to write it for us. I think that's what we need to drill into, and I would also support getting together because when we were able to do this in Boston over 2 days without distractions and we could focus on this stuff, it was really good. And doing that in a virtual meeting ain't the same. So I would put in my vote for doing that to the extent we can. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Mr. Ehrstad. Up next, Ms. Ware.
Thank you. Thinking about the questions at the end of places maybe where there could be better clarity, I'm looking at slide 9 under strategy 2. There's actions to formalize a community engagement strategy to provide input on stock assessments, foster routine interactions between stock assessment scientists and fishermen. I personally see those as primary responsibilities of the Science Center, so I would help me to better understand, are we intending to support existing processes with the Science Center? Are we intending to take ownership over that and create something new? And if the latter, I just want to make sure that's a really deliberative choice of the council. So if we could get clarity on that at some point, that would be great.
Dr. O'Keefe?
Thank you. We did... Jonathan and I went back and forth a little bit on this one, trying to figure out kind of what is the council's role, what's in the council's purview, but also trying to really reflect on what we heard at the workshop around the council playing an active role in making requests to the center and engaging with center staff on what we need. So I take the point that maybe those need, again, some wordsmithing to clarify. The formalize a community engagement strategy, council does absolutely play a role in that through the NRCC, and we can continue to play that role and have more council input around how we can better design that, how we can better formalize it. The word foster on that second one is deliberate, and it's not saying, you know, create these interactions, but trying to recognize our role of that, you know, it's not necessarily in our purview, some of these things, but to try to foster those interactions, creating situations where we would be able to have overlap of staff, ensuring that, you know, there's council representatives at stock assessment review meetings and assessment scientists at our meetings and vice versa. So I think overall what I'm trying to respond, Megan, is hear your point, and like maybe we could do a better job clarifying where we think the council's role is compared to how we want the council to try to request things from other partners.
Yeah, and I would just like to add, obviously, our Science Center partners are here at the table. They were part of this discussion in January. So I see this as the council as the whole, including our management at GARFO and our science at the Science Center. So I would include them in that. And if I'm speaking out of turn, Dr. Hare, you can say something. Sure.
I think the way Dr. O'Keefe talked about it is right, as we all have responsibilities to make sure that we're engaging with the different parts of the system. So I think each of us needs to foster, I think from my perspective off the cuff, you know, NRCC has the responsibility, but then each member of the NRCC has a role and responsibilities. And so we need to work together and foster, I think, is the right word.
Thank you for that. Any further questions, comments, concerns? I think one of the questions on there is there's anything missing? Did anyone see that was anything missing? Seeing none. I know we had that larger report was kind of a late data dump on us with a million other things we need to read. But I really encourage you all in the next, I think we'll have another update in June, to have an opportunity in the next month and a half or so before we meet, circle back in Mystic, to take a look at that larger report to see, you know, is there anything in there as well that we would like to pull out? Just like I said, this is a council-driven process. I'm looking at all the rest of us around the table here. You know, this is on us to kind of move this forward. And, you know, we're the ones that get the criticism. We're trying to make this better for everyone else. So, sure. Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you. I think another follow-up to Mr. Smith's question, and what are the next steps and what is the implementation plan? So as I mentioned, we are aiming towards a final approval of the strategic plan and the implementation plan in September, and with the intent to use this new developed process for priority setting for 2027 and beyond. So our first real implementation of the strategic plan will be at our September meeting, where we have our initial kickoff conversation about priorities, and then at our December meeting, where we're really going to try, as the council identified they wanted to tie work priorities to our goals and objectives that are in the strategic plan. So we will be kicking this into gear right away at the end of this year. Thanks.
Thank you for that. Seeing no other questions, comments, I want to thank you, Brett. You and your team have done a great job of leading us through this. Like I said, you know, I'm glad that you said you're willing to field questions as we move forward in this, as we take our baby steps into larger and larger steps of moving forward with our plan. But thank you very much for this. This concludes our morning session. We are now breaking for lunch before anyone leaves. Those that are in the room, if you are interested in public comment today at 4:15, please see Alex Dunn raising his hand in the corner. Those people that are online, please shoot an email to Alex to let him know that you would like to participate through the webinar. And with that, we will be back at 1:45 for risk policy. Thank you.